All right. And there we go. The recording has begun. Welcome, welcome. You are all at the May 5th, 2021 LHON live call. Happy Cinco de Mayo to everyone out there. My name is Andy Marks. I'm joining here in Hoboken, New Jersey today. And I have an amazing, better co-host. Are you there, Jessica?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We have been doing these calls, and I have been doing these intros for many years now. Jessica and I had the pleasure of meeting each other back in June of 2014. It's coming up on 7 years since we met in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and quickly realized how awesome it is to meet other people who are not only blind and not only losing their vision, but have such a unique experience, but while being unique, it's shared by all of us. And so it was really cool to be able to talk about our lives and realize how similar the way we live is. And we wanted to find a way to kind of spread that benefit throughout the rest of the year and not just wait till the next conference in the following June. So in August of that year, we started hosting these conference calls, and they've taken lots of different forms over the past 7 years, but the goal remains to do everything we can to benefit from each other's stories and tips and advice, and frankly, make life for people with LHON a little bit easier together. That's my goal, at least. We talk about lots of different things. Each month, we pull topics from the LHON Facebook group. So if there's ever anything you want to talk about, you can post it there. You can send it to me or Jessica individually. I love that recently we've started getting topics from other folks to talk about, which is really exciting. So you can send them to us or email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. We are all ears. There are a few topics that we try and steer clear of, mainly because we aren't experts. And those are principally legal advice, employment advice, and medical advice. I know we have lots of questions about all those types of things, and we are happy to field those questions. But if we feel they're out of our realm of expertise, we may point you toward an expert to get you the answers you need. With that, Jessica, happy Cinco de Mayo, and how are you?
Happy Cinco de Mayo. I'm wonderful. It's sunny skies over here in Denver. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, it snowed. So, you know, we're back to fall. I think we were in winter a couple days ago. So happy to be in fall weather. So happy fall to you. How are you doing over there in New Jersey?
I am doing just fine. It is May and things are starting to be much better here weather-wise. My allergies are picking up a little bit, but I think I can deal with that. I'm glad to see the sun, glad to be outside, glad to have two shots in my arm, taking everything day by day, but pretty happy.
That's perfect. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it is. I'm generally happy. I'm ready for real summer though. Especially my last summer, probably working from home all the time. Before I head back to the office, but I will enjoy lunch outside as much as I can, as long as I can.
Do you have a porch? Are you still on the fire escape?
Oh, I was just, so no fire escape. I'm actually, well, I have a fire escape here. I'm in a new building where I'm again on the top floor, on the fifth floor now. And there's a fire escape right outside the window, right in front of me, actually. But there's a large desk between me and it, which is obviously how you want a fire escape, very hard to access. yeah. But I do have a very nice park just outside of my apartment. So I enjoy going there for lunch when I can, especially because it means getting out and getting lunch somewhere other than in my own walls, which is nice.
For any listeners that weren't part of this, Andy spent many times during COVID outside on his fire escape because that is how much outdoors he could be able to get towards in the middle of COVID. So we always tease him about his fire escape adventures.
There was a full month where I think that's all of the outside I got. But that's it was a fun time, and it's in the rear view mirror, so that's A-okay with me. We all got to do what we have to do to get through it, and we're here together, so that's what this is all about.
That's
Speaking
so
of
true.
outside, you're gonna love this transition. Registration for a favorite race of yours opened this week. You want to tell us a little bit about the CIM and what it means to you?
My coworker's favorite term is, "Can we please time box her?" is their favorite quote. So you should start time boxing me if I start talking about running. But the California International Marathon actually opened for in-person marathon running, which is a really big deal because, of course, the two words in person should shock most people. So we're like, oh my gosh, the Boston Marathon is actually going to be in person in October. Super small group of people that are quote unquote allowed to run it. But so the California International Marathon, what's super cool about this is that it is actually the national championship of the United States Association for Blind Athletes. So there are some requirements that you have to hit in order to like be entered. But it's like under 5 hours of a yeah, under 5 hours of a full marathon or under 2.5 hours for a half marathon. And it's, I mean, it's awesome. There's everybody from people running their very first marathon to people that are Paralympians, like our one and only Chaz Davis. So a huge broad range of runners, but it is like a full reunion. I think right now there's 39 people signed up. So you can actually, I think there's four more spots left. What's super cool also about it is that there is sponsorship. So if you sign up for this race and obviously qualify under the 5 hours or 2.5 hours, if you do sign up for this race, you receive, if you pass, cross over the start line, you will receive $500, which is obviously super awesome for just like getting there and running it. But that'll help cover the cost of your hotel or maybe some of your flight or things like that. So it kind of helps a little bit with the financial situation. And then there is a purse prize, which means first, second, and third place winners do get to take home some money. So you could come out ahead. But beyond all the like awesome sponsorship, it is just a super cool group of people that I actually probably still connect. I connect with all of my running friends probably about once a month. We all jump on a Zoom call and just like say hey to each other because we think each other's awesome. This group of people is the most welcoming group of people. It doesn't matter your pace. I mean, it never matters what your pace is. Just that you're out there having a great time. You're excited to be there and. We have a special tent, like it's glorious. So if you ever wanted to run a marathon and that thought has ever crossed your mind, this is the one you should go to because yeah, we are like pure royalty and it's the most wonderful marathon racing experience you could ever have. So the leader that runs it, Richard Hunter, is like a like running genius and he's just like the father of like guide running. So if anybody's interested in it, please reach out to me. I could go on for the next 3 hours about it, which I'll hold back. But highly recommend, and I am actually signed up for this race, so I better get in marathon shape. So I'm at 2 miles, so we got a ways to go.
There you go. So just to reiterate, I will say it very quickly. If you're blind and interested in ever running a race, you should do the CIM and registration for this year is open. So yeah. With that, let's get into some of these topics that we're asked about. So I know this month we got an email. Actually, I think it was just before our last call. And so apologies for not bringing it up then. But we were recommended a podcast, Jessica. I'll have you kind of tell me about this together because I haven't had the pleasure of listening to it yet. But it's called Talk Descriptive to Me, which must be a play on some phrase. And the premise of this podcast, the way I understand it, the host, who is specifically qualified to describe things in a specific way, describes things that were visually seen in the news to a blind audience. So, for example, they would describe what the tanker or the ship that was stuck in the Suez Canal looked like, or what the Mars what is it, Perseverance rover that landed looks like, or even the helicopter that took off from Perseverance and flew around for I think like 18 seconds the first time before it landed back on Perseverance's back. All of those types of visual news stories are described on the podcast Talk Descriptive to Me. And the person who shared it with us was very impressed. So I would probably feel pretty good about the recommendation there. Jessica, anything else you want to add there?
No, you did a mighty fine job describing that description.
Sure. Are there any specific blindness podcasts that you've ever listened to?
No, shameless plug besides Careers for the Blind. And that's probably the only one that I've listened to. But this talk descriptive to me sounds perfect. And maybe it's going to be a better way for me to be able to catch more information on the news. So I think this will be a good one. What about you?
I do, on the other hand, do not need another way to get more news. I probably spend too much time in that world. But Blind Abilities is the only one that comes to mind. I know our LHON family has several podcasts, so happy to have them plug them here if they'd like or in the Facebook group after this. But that's the only one that I can think of right now. Yeah, so I'll name that. We'll keep moving along to another topic that was brought to us this month. And as always, feel free to reach out to us, send them to us, email them to us anonymously. They don't even have to be topics that we are going to mention name on. So this time someone asked me the question, just at what point do you kind of become comfortable being blind or comfortable talking about your blindness or comfortable with who you are as a blind person or really coming to terms with the fact that this is forever for you? I think even the person who mentioned this to me said something about having seen TikTok videos I was in and just how I appear pretty comfortable and like okay talking about it. And I certainly am okay talking about it. I would share that I've been pretty okay talking about my blindness for a long time now. I watched not too long ago the video from me speaking at June of 2014, the conference there, which would have only been, I guess, a couple months after losing my vision. And I at least remember someone remarking after the fact that I must have been kind of having some kind of front on because there was no way I was that comfortable with this. And I would say that I was comfortable with it in the way that I am now, but I would quickly add that that doesn't mean I'm always like this. I mean, the fact that I'm pretty comfortable and that I can talk to people about this and be okay with how I am, does not mean I wish it were this way, does not mean that this is a life I would choose, and it doesn't mean that I'm always happy about it. I get quite disappointed, quite upset, pissed off from time to time, and I think that's natural. I think maybe that's not a part that everyone sees of me and you, Jessica, frequently, but I know we've seen it of each other, getting pissed off and being angry for sure about being blind, and there are times, the most recent one I can think about, I think was yesterday even when I was with my girlfriend and we were doing something on her laptop and she wanted to ask me how to do something in Excel and I was describing it to her and she was having a hard time and I was just in my mind thinking, if only you had Zoom text on that computer, I'd take it from you right now and do what you needed to have done and then give it back to you. Which probably says something about my blindness and something about my comfort level with it. And something about our relationship and something about me as a person. But all of these things are true. Like I am not always okay with this. There are times where I've had to sit down in the middle of a department store because I am confused about where I am. And I thought I was walking somewhere when it turns out I didn't get there. So like, I don't think that we go from a place of being always upset and always disappointed and always sad to this place where you're always the opposite of that. I can say pretty honestly, there were times early on where I cried a lot about this, but there, just like I'm not always happy now, I wasn't always sad then either. And I think that's always going to be a sometimes thing. And I think there's some power and some comfort that comes in that. There's some comfort that I take in knowing that, hey, when I'm sad, depressed, disappointed about how I'm feeling about my vision one day, it's just one day. Oftentimes I go back to work on Mondays to my office, not these days, but last year, and I can tell or am more reminded that I can't see as well because I've spent the whole weekend not having to read a thing so much or notice anything really close and detailed. And then I go back to work and I'm having to lean on that again or try and do that again. And I'm facing my blindness in a more real, direct way. And especially if I go away for a week of vacation where like, you almost forget sometimes, but you go back to work and you realize it and it's kind of sucks. And it's tough, but Tuesday is going to be different than Monday. And that's all I have to say about that. I don't know if that's helpful at all, but that's some of how I deal with a lot of these things. What are your thoughts, Jessica?
Yeah, I know. I mean, totally well said and 100% agree. I think your comment was super interesting about when you go back to work, you're like, oh, it's kind of back. I actually feel sometimes going back to work because that's my rhythm. Like that's the rhythm I know. Like I know exactly where everything is. I know exactly what to do. I mean, gosh, going into the office, I was very routine. I find that, gosh, remember back in the day when I called it blind girl nesting, like I find that when I lost vision, I became even more routine than I am now. I feel like I'm routine now. But like with work, it was just, I mean, I packed my lunch. I got everything ready. I like had the exact same route. Like everything was very kind of organized. And especially then getting to the office, like my computer was just organized as such. And so I knew that was where my comfort zone was because I knew exactly what to expect and what was coming. Versus like sometimes socially, I struggle a little bit that way, which I think most people will be like, what? But my best friend was actually just in town. And so everyone needs a very honest best friend, you know, like the friend that would probably like say something that like nobody else would. So like, I'm super excited. She's in town. She's going to meet me right down at Union Station. So I'm like, perfect. I'll take the light rail in. Like I'll meet you. So I was actually early. So I was just kind of hanging out. And so I walk in and so we sit down at the table and she's like, so how's it going? And she's like, so your makeup doesn't match. And I was like, hi, good to see you. But like, this is a friend. I would want people to tell me these sort of things. I had no idea that my foundation never matched my skin. And I didn't know, like, I actually, so then she kind of, we walked through, so she was here Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So by Sunday, I kind of had like a new makeup routine down and she was kind of just giving me tips and tricks of like what I should be doing differently with my makeup. And then said like, okay, you need to go to the makeup as Jaxie starts crying. You should go to the makeup counter, tell them that what you're looking for and you want to make sure this matches without foundation or whatever. But I had no idea. So I think that's when I like totally struggle sometimes that like, you know, people will say like, oh, your makeup looks awesome. Like, how do you have that? Like you look put together. And then my best friend gets there and she's like, it doesn't match. And I'm like, no way. So I just get super self-conscious about that because my biggest concern is I want to look put together and have all that, like have my makeup done, match clothes and like all that. And so, yeah, when she comes to town, so we did makeup revise. She helped me buy new earrings because she was telling me something like weird about my earrings. And so those are just, I mean, gosh, to kind of trek through the hard times is the support network that we build and who we have around us that kind of helps me keep going when I need to sidestep and go, oh my gosh, thank you so much for telling me. But it also takes a lot of time to kind of embrace that feedback. Gosh, because for a while, if someone told me that right when I lost vision, I don't think I would have accepted that feedback very well. It's hard to hear something super brutally honest, you know, but being able to kind of hear that from her, gosh, years down the road. It was then helpful for me to kind of hear that because if I have someone that feels comfortable enough to say something to me like that, then I know that at least I'm in that like kind of safe spot to be able to ask questions or like, what do you think about this? Does this look okay? And so I appreciate and love her honesty enough that I brought a couple outfits of things I didn't plan on wearing that weekend, but I'm like, does this look okay? Or should I take it back? Like, what do you think? So yeah. So I think, so long story short, have a really good friend that's super honest and be ready to take the honesty.
I think when you have friends like that, they're the only ones that you can trust when they say you do look great or when they don't say anything about how you look, because you know, hey, if I looked like crap, this friend would tell me. And
right.
That's nice. Anything else on that before we keep moving forward?
No, I mean, I think you said it well. That was great.
All right. This month, I saw someone post within the group about some playing cards they had used. I think specifically these were oversized jumbo playing cards. I've seen cards in the low vision center that are very large cards, basically the size of like a manila envelope, where you can play games with those cards. I think they have like Uno cards that are really big, and or even just a normal deck of playing cards that are large. I think it's harder to do sleight of hand with those, but you can certainly play card games with them. What's your experience with playing games like those, Jessica? Even if it's not with a deck of cards, I've seen oversized bingo cards or anything like that. Do you have experience with any of those?
Yeah, I have oversized Uno cards. And it was awesome. We actually, first of all, my family, we had to sit on the floor because it was so, these were like the 8.5 by 11s. So they're pretty big. So they're kind of nice to have like a stack of cards, like in front of you on like sitting in Indian style on the floor, more sort of thing. My biggest question is, how do you shuffle those? Is my biggest mystery.
Just on the floor.
I did pretty much like a 52 card pickup. You just throw them all around and then swish them around and come back. That's what I did.
Yep.
So I'm like, is that a thing? But yeah, so we played that, and that's been really nice. Especially it's nice just kind of sit around the table and, you know, just like hang out with your family and play a card game. I saw that post too on Facebook, and it was so awesome because you could like hear that person's excitement, like how much of a game changer it was to be able to do that. But
yeah, I mean,
what about yours?
And the good thing about a game like Uno or even some other card games, Skip Bo or something like that, is that the details that you need to get from that card are pretty large. Meaning one thing you need to get is the color. So if you have some degree of remaining vision, sometimes you can maybe tell that color. Even if you can't tell if it's yellow, you can tell the difference maybe between the yellow and the blue, which is all you really need to be able to do.
Totally.
And then maybe be able to read the one large number in the middle. So I can't tell you last time I played Uno, but I do have some normal size playing cards that are have really large writing on them. I think I have three different decks because I really enjoy playing cards and spades and whatever it may be. So they're cards where basically you have within the card, it would have a giant five and then a giant clubs logo, not logo, image, whatever, icon, I guess is a better word. And so rather than the normal card where I'd have to take a picture of it basically to know what it is, which is also a good tip, by the way. I can do these by holding them close enough to my face. And yet everyone else can play with them and it feels normal for them as well. But as I said, if there are cards that you can't read and you're playing a game where you can go at a slow enough pace, I often like to take pictures of my cards to be able to read them or even just use the magnifier on my phone and not take pictures, but be able to zoom in while using my camera and be able to read what's on my card. I do that when I play Exploding Kittens, which is a game I recommend for folks who can play that. You can also play it on your phone, to be honest. But yeah, I take pictures even if I'm playing a game like Codenames, where you have a whole thing of 25 cards down on the table. I'll take a picture with an iPad even, and so I can zoom way in and scroll around to be able to read what the different cards said. Makes the game a little slower, but I can still play it.
Well, that's fine. I definitely see the bonus of either card. Like, I like that the cards you're describing are still like the like standard size of it. So it's kind of a little bit easier to handle like in your hands. And I'd be super curious to kind of be able to look at it to see if that's something that I could see just because our vision varies on like the number and the icon. But I also love, yeah, the Uno cards. They are gigantic. It's a little kind of hard to handle. Sometimes I feel like I need a full-on easel or one of those like Scrabble like holders. That could be a bonus.
Yeah.
but they are pretty big. But I mean, big is kind of sometimes our bonus. So I can't hate on the big cards too. So now if anyone has any way to shuffle those without looking like a 5-year-old, you let me know.
It doesn't exist, Jessica. Don't worry. last but certainly not least, before we open up the call, and I should remind everyone, when we open up the call is still being recorded, but we'd love to have you join us in this conversation talking about any of the topics we mentioned or asking questions or comments on something we haven't mentioned. At the end of the call, we will turn the recording off so you can ask questions privately there, or I should say more privately, or take the opportunity to introduce yourself if you didn't get the chance to do it at the start of the call. But I say all of that before this last topic, because I'm going to invite some others to potentially join us for this last topic, because this is related to a research study that is being conducted right now that we certainly encourage all of you to participate in. It's an online research study asking questions about, I believe, quality of life for LHON community and different aspects there. Very easy to do. And I know for anyone who is on this call, you are probably at least, what's the word I should use? Basically have filled out information on LHON.org. So you probably get those monthly emails. And within a recent email is information about that survey and how to participate in the research. Very easy, very fast. And we encourage you to do it. It's a nice way to give back to this community and participate and also help yourself. So I encourage you all to be a part of that. Lissa, I know you're probably here. If there's anything you'd like to add on that, you can.
The only thing I would mention is that sometimes questionnaires can be tricky and challenging to fill out. There's no reason it's specifically allowed that you can ask a cited supporter to just read you the questions. So honestly, I did that with Jeremy because I knew it would be faster and less annoying for him. And I knew it would be done. So I just pulled up the questionnaire, read the questions to him, zip, 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 filled them out. And like we were done really quickly. And if you don't have a cited supporter nearby, the team that's doing the research has been setting up calls and helping people through it. So don't let that be an obstacle.
That's a good point.
And if anyone can't find the link to it, feel free to message me. Most of you all know how to track me down. So just send me a message through Facebook or an email or whatever, or what, and I can send people the link.
Yep. That's Lissa Poinsenow, LHON points at, what is it, AOL.com?
It is.
So if anyone needs to reach her, you can. I hope you don't mind me sharing your email here. I think you're okay with that, though. So with that, I think we're going to go ahead and get ready to open up the call. I will remind you all that you can send top. Yes.
I have one more thing to kind of, I want to run through. I want to run through really quickly just all the calls that are kind of coming up this week or this month for May for all LHON people.
Awesome, go for it. Okay, awesome.
Bear with me as I read zoomed in, but yeah, this is like my best skill. I'm sarcastic. Okay, so the first call coming up is LHON affected youth adults, and that's actually going to be on Monday, May 10th, and that's at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's also the same line. So just a note that all these calls that I'm going to be kind of sharing is all going to be the exact same call that you used here today. And also all of these calls that I'm sharing also come from an email once a month from Lissa from LHON Project. And so if you happen to not receive this email, please let us know and we can get you on this list. So you're kind of informed of all the cool calls coming up, cool calls. So that's LHON Affected Youth. The next one's Navigating Education. And that is Tuesday, May 11th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And gosh, that's everyone in the education field, whether you're a teacher, you're a student, parent, everybody in between, definitely join that call. I've been on that call many times, and it's a huge resource. So definitely feel free to join that. The next one that's coming up is just California Connect, and that's only actually California residents. And I'm so sorry, Jack, my dog is also crying at this moment. It's annoying. California Connect, only California residents, and that is on Tuesday, May 18th And that's at 6 p.m. Pacific. So a little bit different of time change there. Next one we have coming up is the Dad's Call, which is awesome. And that is on Wednesday, May 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. So that's Dad's Call, only for the dads. The next one coming up is LHON-MS. So this one's only for those in the LHON community affected or also who have also been specifically affected with MS or MS symptoms, I should say. And that one is Thursday, May 20th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, there's quite a list. We've got so many good resources out here. So definitely check this out. The one after that is the LHON Sisterhood Call. So these are all females affected, either carrying the gene or affected with LHON. That's LHON Sisterhood. This one does require for you to be part of the Facebook group and for you to RSVP. So just to be aware, there's a little bit of homework you should do on that one to make sure you have everything you need. And that is Wednesday, May 26th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Special shout out. Scarlett does an amazing job on this call. It is a huge, it's wonderful. So definitely something you guys don't want to miss if you are falling within that group. So those are the calls coming up for May. We got an awesome lineup. So if anything sounds of interest to you or you want more information, please reach out. Also check your emails to make sure that you receive that email to kind of keep informed of all these calls coming up. But thank you.
Cool. With that, I would say you can always reach out to let us know about more topics. You can also reach out if there's a specific call that you would like to have done. We encourage you to be a part of that. Be the one who makes that call happen. We can give you the tools and resources to start a call of your own, whether that's a call at a certain time, a call for a specific group, a call on a certain topic. We'd be happy to help you facilitate any of those calls yourself, and be happy to encourage it and promote it for you. The next call for LHON Live, this call, will be June 2nd. That's the first Wednesday of every month. Same time, same phone number. It's always 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Before I open up the call, something I am often asked to do is to kind of talk through the topics that we discussed tonight. So I'll do that quickly and then we'll open up the call. So we talked about the CIM, the California Invitational Marathon. We talked about the podcast Talk Descriptive to Me. We talked about when you get comfortable with your blindness and what that process is like. We talked about playing cards and we talked about this research study. So with that, I no longer have the ability to unmute you all, but I will send out a request for you all to be unmuted. And you can start unmuting yourselves and ask any questions you'd like.
And a reminder, if you're on your phone, that it's star 6 to unmute.
Right. Good call, Jessica.
Yeah, hello, this is John. This is John Benson from Central Washington State. I want to say thank you to everybody again for this resource. Hey, you guys are invaluable. And I keep saying this is kind of new to me, but it's still under a year, so I feel like a virgin. Just some experience from you guys. I swear there are days where I know my vision is better, and there are days when I know it's worse. And by saying no, that's strange because I don't really feel qualified to even interpret. But if I'm sitting the same distance in front of the television today as I was yesterday, and the image is twice or three times more clear today than it was yesterday, then I feel like I can say my vision is better. Is it normal with this condition that your vision goes up and down?
I would say yes. Okay. I would say depending on the time of day, what your eyes have done that day, what you've done that day, all of those things play a role. And also just how you're feeling or what you're doing, what your eyes are up to doing. There's a muscle there, and it's easier some days and harder some days.
Wow. Okay.
That's my experience. And I mean, whether that's real or not, the weird thing about vision, when you have an eye test or a vision test done, doctors are asking you what you can see. there is not much known. I mean, there are ways to measure the optic nerve and do other kinds of things like that. But at the end of the day, doctors rely on us to say what we see. So based on the experience of a lot of people here and what I've heard folks say over the past 7 years, yes, vision's going to fluctuate. If it goes down, that doesn't mean it's always going to stay down. And if it gets a little bit better, that doesn't mean it's always going to be that good either.
Okay. Well, I appreciate
it. In the course of one day, it can vary.
Oh.
I mean,
some people say that they wake up with worse or better vision and then go to sleep with the opposite of that. So,
using the television as a you know, vision gauge can be a little tricky because of camera angles, and especially with sports, if the team you're following is home, it may be sort of the same, you know, camera images and angles each time, you know, each game, especially, I don't know, basketball is very, you know, that the shots can be sort of, you know, the same to capture the whole court. But then when the team goes on the road, those camera angles and the, you know, what they're capturing can be completely different. So if you're using the television as a bit of a, you know, a gauge, that can be a little tricky.
Well, for example, exactly. I just realized that, you know, I started watching this movie last night and I finished it the next morning and it looked twice more clear the next morning than it did last night.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mean, I think that was Paul who said that. So thanks, Paul and John, both of you. I also realized that I have poor memory of what my vision is like in certain places. And you're mentioning something happening one night and then again the next morning. So I trust you more than I trust myself in some situations. But there are times where I go somewhere one day and then I'm go away, go back home. And then I visit that same place a year later. And I couldn't tell you, did I have perfect vision when I came here last time? No, there's no way I did. That was last year. But my memory doesn't always go in sync with, did I have vision at that point in time or not? That's something I've noticed at least.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate that. It answers my question, and it isn't something to feel good or bad about. It's just something.
Yep. Something to know.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question, John.
Thank you.
Hey, Andy, this is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Great call as always, of course. I'm curious about the normal playing cards that you're talking about. I mean, I've played with massive cards like the size Jessica's talking about, and yeah, good luck trying to shuffle them. You can't, Jessica, so don't feel alone.
But thank you.
Where did you find those normal playing cards that are larger print, though?
I have two decks of them. And to be honest, I don't know where either of them came from. But my best guess is that one came from a low vision center and one was a gift. I don't think the cards I have you could buy at a store. I know sometimes you'll go to a store and they'll be like, hey, these cards are like large print or something for someone whose vision is deteriorating a little bit. What I have is much more extreme than that. And I believe they were both purchased at some kind of low vision center. I would expect, what is it called? Some Maxi Aids or something like that. There's a website that has a bunch of blind products. That's where my brother brought my Braille backgammon board that he gave me last year. I would expect they have similar cards.
Lisa, Andy's right. Maxi Aids has them. I posted the link a few minutes ago when it came up in the conversation, and I'd be glad to just send you the link so you have it personally. But folks who don't know, when we do these conversations, if you find the big blue box that Jessica posted talking about tonight's call, I've tried to put links about stuff we're talking about there. So yes, a link to those cards is right there, and I'll send it to you, Lisa, directly.
Perfect, thank you.
My husband also told me that he took ours on Amazon.
Awesome.
Okay.
Just for everyone's context here as well, I noticed if anyone's looking for that survey, Lisa also posted the link here in the Zoom chat for anyone who needs to find it here.
Just so people know, I actually did the questionnaire today over the phone, and it was quite easy to do. It was quite hilarious because we had set up a time, and then he forgot to ask me what province I was in. So there was obviously a time difference. So I was home waiting, and then, yeah. So anyways, if we can help with research, everyone, you know, do it. If you can't do it online and you can't have somebody read it for you, send an email back and they will set up a time to call you, and it's pretty easy.
Lisa, did you think they asked meaningful, you know, questions?
I did. Some of them were harder for me to answer because some of the questions pertain to when I first lost my vision, but doesn't happen to me now. Sure. So, and that's what I had said to him. I said, you know, yes, this happened when I first lost my vision, but now it doesn't. So 18 years later, you know, things have changed. So, but yeah, I hope it was helpful in their research.
But this survey is still really relevant.
I have that same observation that it seemed like it was geared towards people that would on the question, some of the questions, like if you were affected more recently, because I kind of felt the same way since I've been, you know, I was affected like 50 years ago. So
yeah, exactly.
The survey is really relevant, whether I think you're newly affected or have had it for a while. I mean, yes, it may tax your memory a little bit on some of the early symptoms, but I don't think that whether you've been affected for a while should bear you know, whether or not you should take it. It's really relevant.
I wasn't suggesting you shouldn't take it. I just said that some questions are harder to answer than others because of that. I was just agreeing with what Lisa said.
I think
any survey that's trying to gain more knowledge about, you know, the condition we all share is worthwhile doing. I mean, you know.
Great for awareness.
I always encourage people to do this stuff.
Well, is it anonymous? The data that are collecting, is that anonymously that they're collecting it?
Yes, it's all anonymous.
All anonymous.
And I'm sure they're only going to report results in aggregate and things like that. I will add, based on my day job, which this audience, being people with LHON or even the broader audience of people who are blind or have low vision, is especially hard for research to be done on because, one, we are small, and two, we are not often represented very well in online research panels or things like that. So there are lots of times where companies and or nonprofits or academic institutions would like to conduct research with an audience like us. And I just want to say on behalf of those people, thank you so much for participating, because otherwise products cannot be optimized, research cannot be moved forward, and all those types of things. So while we think, hey, there's someone else who can do this, there oftentimes isn't for as niche an audience as we are. So thank you.
This is Cindy. I can't tell if I'm muted.
You're not, Cindy. We can hear you.
Oh, thanks. Okay. If this is the same survey that I took recently, it was easy with VoiceOver. Sometimes with VoiceOver, it seems like getting through a survey, it just pops you back up to the top of the page over and over and over. But this just was smooth as could be with VoiceOver on it. It didn't take me long at all.
Wonderful.
That's awesome.
Well, so interesting, and this isn't the politically correct way to approach this, but so how many of us do really see monsters on a regular basis?
only every other day.
Yeah. I mean, I have, you know, been many times. I'm looking is that what I think it is? And I see kaleidoscopes all the time, and I'll see a regular person that after blinking three times isn't there anymore. And I've been told it's my brain wants to see things, and makes up things to see because it's used to seeing things. And I don't know how accurate that is. But I have a feeling it's a touchy subject, and I don't honestly know why it would be, but it seems to be.
I don't There's a think it's- great reason for to take the survey right there, because it is a touchy subject, and awareness is really critical.
Yeah.
I think everyone's probably their symptoms are probably different, in this niche group that we're in. You know, everyone's got this symptom, it's not the same. It's like,
No, but thank you for the questions. Any other questions or comments or answers to questions that have been asked from folks?
Hey, this is Cindy again. I was going to say, I really liked Andy's response to the question about at what point do you get comfortable with this? Because I would have to agree with what Andy said there, that this is Cindy. Did I say that? This is, it's like, yeah, exactly. Because it's like, you can say it's a progressive thing, and any given day, it might be this or it might be that, but it's, I think over time it does get easier, but it's still a thing to deal with, but it's hard to just say that it's like all of a sudden complete 100% acceptance or something like that. But I really liked the way you said it, though. You said it better than I did, but that was a really good response.
What did Andy say? I don't think I was in the meeting when what Andy said. Can Andy repeat what he said?
I'll do my best. I'll do my best impression of Andy 20 minutes ago. But basically the question was, at what point would someone like me or Jessica, who seems pretty comfortable with our blindness, at what point do you become comfortable? And my point of view there isn't that like there's a progression from being uncomfortable to comfortable always, but that even though someone like me probably seemed pretty comfortable early on, that doesn't mean I wasn't sad or depressed or anything at different times. And frankly, the fact that I sound this way or act this way now doesn't mean that's always the case either. No. That it will always be a thing where sometimes you're happier and sometimes you're less happy, and sometimes life is going your way and sometimes it's not. And it's easy for us to be upset at our blindness when it's not. And I mean, that's a real thing and an obvious thing that we are allowed to do. But no matter what, these things come and go. And so it's always kind of nice to know that if I'm going through a tough time, that I'll probably be going through a better time sometime soon. And my point of view is just that it doesn't always progress from always unhappy to waiting until that day that you're always happy about it and always comfortable with it. I don't think I did as good a job this time, but that's my best impression.
Well, I'll look for the little things in life that you can feel good about. Wouldn't it thoroughly suck if the same thing got harder to deal with over time?
Yeah,
exactly. I
love seeing butterflies when I see butterflies. Woo, woo, woo. Butterflies.
Exactly.
I do have a question for the group. Has anyone had any issue with iOS 14.5? I've been reading a lot on the LOHN Facebook page about VoiceOver not working and some other stuff not working on iOS 14.5.
So. I read the same. I don't have an answer to your question so much other than to say that when new iOS operating systems come out, it's not uncommon for there to be accessibility hiccups early on, and that sometimes it's great not to be the first one to update, but also if you are, those updates are normally resolved relatively quickly. The only thing I did see, I think it was Patrick even that posted about the podcast app having some issues.
I texted him about that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm in a WhatsApp group with the NFB, and the a bunch of people on there did update and they were having trouble with it, and I haven't updated yet, so I don't have any firsthand knowledge of it. But people who live near me, not LHON people, but you know, other blind folks, were talking about that it really messed things up on their phone.
Well, that's wonderful information to have, because people on the line right now might want to wait.
Yeah, at least for the next 14.6, maybe.
Yeah.
I do have a question for the group, though. I am getting a new iPad in a couple weeks. I'm coming from a small iPad to a big iPad. So I'm just wondering, you know, will I have problems using a bigger iPad? Because I don't really read books, cotton books, novels, you know. That's my only concern, you know, and using email apps with it, a bigger screen.
My experience, I've had a few different sized iPads. I had what I think was a iPad Air, maybe. I at one point in time, not the mini, but it was thinner. And now I have an iPad Pro, it's roughly 13 inches. And that's what I use now. I would say that at this point, iPad sizes are such that I prefer the largest they're going to make. There is a point at which I don't prefer that, but iPads aren't that big that I'm anywhere close to that at this point. Depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, if you're mainly using it for audio feedback, maybe a phone's better. But if you're using an iPad, I assume you're using it maybe for some degree of either attaching a keyboard to it and or using it for some vision.
Well, I tried to add the keyboard. I talked to Apple about the keyboard thing, you know, and they're like, well, the keyboard is not accessible for you. I was like, what? And they're like,
I mean, the keyboard is accessible the way a normal keyboard is, if you know where keys are.
I've got my magic mouse here, magic keyboard, and I have my overlay from the blind school overlay, but they don't have one for the keyboard with the magic keyboard.
Got it. Well, I'm not familiar with what the overlay you're referring to is.
It's kind of like, you know, it's like the regular letters, but they're like jumbo, so you can read them.
Oh, got it.
So I have those on my magic keyboard that I have. But if I want to get the magic keyboard with the case and stuff, that's where I wouldn't be able to use it. So
you just have to memorize where the keys are, I guess.
Yeah, or something. Or put big tape on it.
I agree with Andy. I use my iPad all day long.
Because I'm doing a videography and I'm doing some oral history with it. So, I mean, I'm just wondering if it can take my notes and take my emails, because I'm doing, you know, these kind of things and different things, you know, how it's going to change differently.
I have an iPad Pro as well. It's the biggest one, and I have the keyboard attached to it, and I actually don't own a computer, like a personal computer, because my iPad does everything so well at this point.
Is that but you still have a work computer, Jessica, is that right?
Yeah, I have a work computer, but I don't really do much on it because it's worky. But yeah, I mean, I do everything from like emails. You can do side-by-side windows, which is pretty cool, because then I can zoom in on one and the other, go back and forth. Can still do some pretty good multitasking and be able to throw in voiceover on and off as needed and be able to capture all that. I think it's called Scribble. That's a good note taking app to be able to, if you have like an Apple, if you have like a pencil.
I have not got a pencil yet. I've not done that. I haven't fully gone to the pencil.
Fun idea. You're feeling crazy.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, another pencil.
Hey, Jessica, I accidentally split my keyboard apart where there was a space in the middle, and I couldn't figure out why somebody would want to do that. Like, I don't even know how I did it, but do you know what that's for?
No.
I did a voiceover maneuver, and it just, and the keyboard just split, and there was a big blank in the middle, and I was like, oh no, how did I do that?
Oh, the detachable where it detaches?
No, the keyboard that's on the screen, you know, like writing an email or something, the keyboard's at the bottom, and I did some voiceover gesture, and it just went, boop.
I assume that's so folks can type with two thumbs more easily? kind of pushing everything to either side.
Yeah, good, got it.
That's a good point.
I don't know how to fix it, but it's probably we can maybe Google it and figure it out for you.
All right, you guys could go I think it's called App Vision or something like that. That's where I got the stuff to help someone else yesterday for that Facebook with a comp podcast thing. It's called, I think, App Vision or something like that.
Okay.
It helps with iOS stuff.
Cool. Awesome. We're approaching the top of the hour, and I want to be able to take the call off recording around that time. But any questions or comments on anything we chatted about tonight that people want to get in? Well, if not, I'll go ahead and say our last blurb and then turn the recording off. As always, thank you all for being here. You can call into the next call. Sorry, my Zoom text is talking to me all of a sudden. You can call into the next call June 2nd, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. It's the exact same call-in info. We'll be emailing you to let you know. But with that, let me get the recording turned off, and then we can take any other questions.